All right, the next topic is loss reserves and capital adequacy. We've been talking about how we can use a mortgage pricing model where we simulate house prices and then look at other risk factors and estimate the expected default costs for a single mortgage when we're about to buy the mortgage or insure the mortgage. Now, when we talk about loss reserves and capital adequacy, we're going to be using the same type of modeling technique, but first of all, we're going to be looking at an entire portfolio of mortgages, not just one mortgage. Secondly, some of the loans may be seasoned. That is, our portfolio could include loans that we've purchased or that we're insuring the default risk on that have now been being paid for 5 years. The mortgage was taken out 5 years ago. We're still responsible for the default risk on it, but we can observe something about the path of home prices that took place. And second, and finally, we can be focused on a particular national price scenario, as opposed to looking at all of a set of plausible scenarios and averaging over them. We can just focus on a particular scenario. So it's just like we're in the insurance business. Bearing mortgage default risk is a lot like being in the insurance business. In fact, there's something called a mortgage insurance company that does nothing but bear the default risk or bear some of the default risk on mortgages. And Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are basically in the mortgage insurance business because they insure, they take the default risk on loans. FHA is in the mortgage insurance business and so on. So for loss reserves and capital adequacy, we would look at a particular scenario. For example, so let's say we had a seasoned loan that has gone through a period where the cumulative price appreciation is 5%. So that on average, loans issued, let's say several years ago, the prices have gone up 5%. That means that the default cost would be a lot lower than if the loan were issued brand new and there'd been no house price appreciation. In addition, when you have a seasoned loan, you have the fact going for you that people have been making their mortgage payments. One thing we can do with seasoned loans is we could look at the particular region or community where the loans were originated and look at the specific trends in home prices in that region. We can try to get a very accurate reading of how house prices have proceeded up until this point. And when we're looking at a portfolio of loans, what we're really, and a particular national price scenario going forward, so let's say this is the path that's up to now, then going forward, we might take a particular home price scenario. Let's say we will go with a conservative scenario where home prices go up on average 1% from now on. We still will use random numbers to say that relative to this particular scenario where on average prices go up 1%, there's variation around that due to regional variation that we can't predict, due to variation in individual home prices that we can't predict. And in fact, even for the seasoned loans, if we have a bunch of seasoned loans of where the average is up 5%, we still want to put variation around that because some of those those homes will have gone up by more, some will have gone up by less, and some will even declined a bit. And so we want to allow for that variation in the historical behavior of season loans so that our season portfolio won't all have gone up by exactly 5% or whatever the figure is. We'll put some variation in there. And then going forward, we'll have similarly, we'll put variation around our average scenario so that we get individual house prices going up by different amounts than the national average. So we create this, so we would create under a particular scenario going forward for average prices, and we would factor in seasoning, and then we would simulate house prices with some variation, and then estimate how many defaults we would get, and we take the total default losses, and we say that's how much we need to reserve for losses. And loss reserves serve two functions. One is that they actually, you know, they create a reserve that you can pay out. You expect, well, on average, we're under this scenario that we're reserving against, you know, let's say we're going to have to pay out $10 million in default losses, then that's when you set that aside as a reserve. That also enters into your accounting statement as a deduction from income. So if next year house prices have done better than you've expected in your original scenario, you could reduce your loss reserves and actually have an increase in income. Conversely, if house prices over the next year do worse than you expect in your baseline scenario, then if house prices do worse, then your income, you have to take a hit to your income. So loss reserves enter as an income factor. The other thing, was the first thing I was talking about was loss reserves. And the next thing is capital adequacy. So with capital adequacy, so with loss reserves, the scenario you pick would be sort of an average scenario or maybe a slightly conservative scenario. So loss reserves, you would use an average or slightly adverse scenario. But you don't do a worst case scenario. With capital adequacy, you're really trying to do a worst case scenario. So when I was first doing this at Freddie Mac, the scenario was 4 years of 10% decline in house prices each year, and then flat house prices on average for 6 more years. Remember, when house prices are flat on average, individual prices will be going up and down, and as a result of that, you'll be experiencing defaults. So overall, it's a 40% drop in prices spread over 4 years. And that was what we called the Great Depression scenario. Now, I think subsequently, after I left Freddie Mac, they altered the Depression, Great Depression scenario, but it was still a pretty severe scenario. And under that scenario, if you simulate a portfolio, you'll be helped by seasoned loans as long as there's been some appreciation in the past. But otherwise, this kind of a drastic drop in home prices is going to cause a lot of defaults. In fact, with this much of a drop in home prices, you're actually helped by variation in home prices. That is, the ones that drop anywhere near this 40% average are all going to default. And the few that are exceptions that vary around this in a positive direction, only falling by 10 or 15%, are the ones that are only ones that are going to not default in that kind of scenario. So the what that gives you then is an amount of capital that you would need to absorb all the losses in this kind of an adverse scenario. So again, you take a worst case scenario and use that to arrive at capital adequacy. And again, a point I want to make is that all of these uses of all these issues of pricing mortgages, setting a loss reserve, and deciding on how much capital you need to set aside to survive, all of them involve to some degree simulating home prices. In the case of pricing models, you're simulating, you know, kind of all possible, you're trying to account for all possible scenarios for national prices. But in case of loss reserves and capital adequacy, you could look at a particular scenario and then vary your vary house prices going forward around that, have the variability of individual houses relative to that national scenario. So there's a lot of still a lot of modeling, a lot of simulation in order to arrive at these kinds of calculations.